Our second is in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Please turn with me there. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said, and the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, the days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. And this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. And I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. The first section I have then is verses 1 through 8. In this first section, we have a couple of things. First of all, we have the great encouragements of the Lord. He's wonderfully magnanimous in his encouragements here, especially as we compare it to the end of the chapter, is he not? The Lord says what? I will be with you. I will go with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Does that sound familiar? Remember Hebrews 13? It's a quotation. And so the Lord tells them, it is as if he is condescending to them as a kind father, and he says to them, I know it's scary. I know that the manna is going to cease, that you're going to enter into a land and that you're going to have to become that nation that we have been talking about these last 40 years. And you will not have the minute kind of care that I have provided for you over these last 40 years, with your shoes not growing old upon your feet and your clothes not waxing old upon your bodies, and manna which comes down from heaven and water out of the rock. You're about to go into a land where you'll have to dig, where you'll have to plant, where you'll have to sow, where I will water it and I will provide for you, but it will be a different kind of provision. And that land is now inhabited with your enemies. And so, yes, I understand it is a daunting task that I have set before you, but be of good courage. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. My dear brothers and sisters, can we just bring that up for a moment? Into the days of the New Testament? And can we not look about at the world around us and look upon even our own hearts? And can we not feel the largeness of the task? And can we not be daunted by it? And yet the Lord says, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. And so the Lord offers to us this same encouragement today that he offered to the children of Israel in that day. You have a mission. You have his commandments. You have your responsibilities and your duties that God has placed into your hand. And I know that sometimes they seem overwhelming, that you cannot do them, that they are beyond your ability. And truly they are. And yet, what does our Lord tell us through the words of the Apostle Paul? He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Christ says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And so, as Moses told Joshua and the people, I tell you today, be of good cheer. And we're in good company when we think that, because our Lord Jesus Christ said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has said that there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Only hear my voice, walk in my ways. Enjoy the encouragements that I bring to you for obedience. These are wonderful encouragements here at the first section of Deuteronomy 31. The second portion in this first section is the succession plan. Moses is 120 years old at this point. Now, the book of Deuteronomy will tell us that when he died, his eye was not dimmed, neither was his natural force abated. I believe that Moses stood as a very spry 120-year-old. And yet, it was not in the Lord's plan and purview for Moses to lead them into the land of promise. That fell to Joshua. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, let us remember that every one of us will be succeeded eventually in our places, our stations, and our callings. And the labors that we have begun, we desire then that those who come behind us should follow us. This is one of those wonderful and often overlooked portions of the Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 24 pertaining to the purposes of marriage. What are the purposes of marriage? Well, one of the greatest purposes of marriage is for the furnishing of humanity with a legitimate issue. In those few simple words, what the divines tell us is, by the words legitimate issue, that is, that we speak of inheritances, that we want to understand that what we begin, the work that we begin in our day in the subduing of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom, that our descendants will take that up after our death and continue that work. That there must be a succession after us, because none of us will last that long. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, let us remember that. Children, remember this. You have a job to do. That job is to rise up and to stand in your parents' place, not only for the sake of the family and the inheritance and whatever that entails, but also for our most holy faith and whatever that entails. Children, that's your job. You spend a lot of time with your parents, somewhere around 18 years, learning how to do that job. Don't rebel against those commands and counsels. Don't rebel against that instruction, because that's your job. Some of you will grow up, we pray, to be elders and pastors. Some of you will grow up to be engineers. Some of you will grow up to do things in the world, and some of you will grow up to serve the church full time. Whatever those things are, do them with your strength. Learn your lessons now, because like Moses, every one of us is going to pass away, and we will need those who come in behind us to take up where we have left off and hopefully to advance, perfect, and improve upon our labors. That's what we desire. And children, that is what the Lord has said to you is your job. So don't do the things then that make for apostasy and turning away from the church. I mean, where will CCRPC be in 20 years? If the Lord gives me those years, I'll be 77. In 25 years, I'll be 82. Do you think I'll still be preaching at 82? Well, the Lord make it so, if that's His will. But what about 92? What about 102? What about 112? Well, we understand that there's very little expectation beyond the beginning of those numbers. So let us remember then that this church must have a succession plan, just like the church of old had a succession plan, just like the broad church, or the church broadly considered, must have a succession plan. So let us think on those things. All right, then, for the second section, the congregation of the Lord was to be a people of the book, and that's 9 through 13. The Lord says, now, when you come in every 7 years, and you, in the year of release, during the Feast of the Tabernacles, that you partake of that year, you're going to read the Bible. You're going to read through the book of the law. Well, we have a bigger book today than they did in those days. But I think that it's a good thing that every 7 years or so, as a congregation, we're reading through the Scriptures. because we are to be a people of the book as well. God's people are to be a people of the book. And so then, they are to hear. Now notice who comes to hear the word of God. Men, women, older children, younger children, babies. All of them come when the book is read. They all come to hear the book of God. Everyone. And so then, this is a means to learn to fear Him, to reverence the Lord in that wonderful fatherly reverence that we have for Him. So all the congregation, it's preserved in writing, it's preserved for teaching, it's preserved for reading, and every 7 years, the entirety of the nation is to come together and to hear that book of the law read. The next section is verses 14 through 21, I guess. Yeah, 21. 14 through 21. And in this next section, notice death is not the end only for the death is not the end for the godly. They have a habitation sure in the heavens. This is not a word of fear to Moses, but a word of completion and of rest. And so the Lord tells him, you're going to be gathered to your fathers. So death is not the end for him. Now, in this section, the Lord begins to apprise Moses of what is happening to that next generation. What will happen to them when they cross over into the land? And we must say it is not good news. There is a large advertisement of their coming apostasy. We're out of time, so I don't want to take a lot more time here. But let's just remember this, that in the advertisement of that apostasy, in the song that is written to memorialize that for the children of Israel in chapter 32, that the Lord continues on with His purposes. That although the Lord has prophesied that they will apostatize, what does the Lord do? Does that change His plan? Does that move Him off of His mercy? Does that mean that we're no longer operating under a covenant of grace, but this must be a covenant of works? Obviously not, because the Lord continues His gracious work with them, even though Moses says, I know how naughty you are now in the thoughts of your heart. And I know what will happen in the days to come. And yet, what does the Lord do? He raises them up another leader. He brings them into the land. He subdues all of their enemies before them. He plants them in the land. And by the time we get to Joshua 21:43, we hear that every piece of real estate that God had promised to the fathers, the children of Israel inherited. They got it all. And so we see here the Lord's grace and mercy, that even in the midst of an apostatizing people, the Lord continues faithful to them. We'll have to end it there. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.